Belfast is one of the top five most congested cities in the entire UK. That's the claim from a new report. If you're listening to the show in your car in Belfast this morning, there's a pretty good chance that you're stuck in traffic. The TomTom Traffic Index, it's published today, it puts Belfast joint fifth, with motorists spending an average of 34% extra travel time stuck in traffic. Anya Grogan is the Green Party Belfast City Councillor. Morning to you, Anya.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And the commentator, Frank Shivers. Morning to you, Frank.
Morning, Stephen.
You know, Anya, I just find it difficult to believe because I don't find Belfast that bad, is it?
I find it that bad. As someone who pretty much walks everywhere they need to go, just seeing the rows and rows of traffic, one person in each car every morning and evening when I'm going home from work. We know how bad the city is. We're just not really built for cars. You see how quickly the city shuts down. If there's one road accident, one event on Belfast, the thing just becomes absolute carnage. And I think that the figures are reflective of that. Now, I will note that they are a slight improvement in some of the previous studies that have said it's actually even worse than that. I think we were second in the last study that was released. So I would put some of that down to, you know, the improvements in public transport. We saw the figures last week with Translink hitting the highest ever numbers that they've had and things like that. But we still have a very long way to go if we are to tackle the health impacts of congestion and just the time and anger of sitting in traffic all day.
Frank?
I think, Stephen, there's a number of points. I mean, there's been a lack of infrastructure or spending on infrastructure within the city. But, you know, you look at the York Street interchange, and the business community has been waiting for donkey's years for that to happen. And with obviously the impasse and Stormont. But it really comes down, even the bus lanes, I mean...
Don't start about those.
Don't even get me started, Stephen, about them. You know, I sit on the bus lanes there and I'm looking, and the buses are half empty. And everybody's queuing, all the cars are queuing, and the buses are half empty because it's not convenient at the moment to use public transport. I mean, I'm flying out to London tomorrow. I will get off at City Airport. I will not even leave the airport. I'll get onto a tube and go right round to Piccadilly without stopping in reality and get off 200 yards from where I need to be. That's convenient. I use that all the time, but I very rarely use public transport in Belfast. Or I live in Bangor, going to Belfast. It's just not convenient. And even if you're going for a night out in Belfast, the last train coming back to Bangor is 11:30. It's just not built for fit for purpose.
On you?
Look, I take some of that on board. There's a lot more that we can do to improve our public transport system here. And I hear that a lot. People going, oh, it doesn't sit for me, it doesn't work for me. But we look when we actually invest in our public transport, look at the glider system and the numbers that they have managed to achieve on that route whenever they've actually properly invested in a system here. They've reached their target, their 10-year targets in a matter of months. And I think that shows the real success of public transport when it's invested in properly. And I don't take this argument the whole time, oh, their transport's not fit for purpose. Yes, don't get me wrong, there's massive problems. I go on my rants about public transport it's the only thing I have. I don't have a car and I have to rely on it sometimes. And we have instances like coming down the Craigie Road where the bus lane isn't wide enough. So when there's a load of traffic there, the bus hasn't got enough room to move down. So there's a whole lot we need to do. But the matter of why our public transport isn't fit for purpose is because we keep prioritising the private car. And why we still have this mindset, oh, I'm just going to use the car, I don't want to use public transport, it's very, very hard to get that shift and to get people to properly invest in the public transport.
Sorry, that's just not true. That's just not true because the motorist gets hit left, right and centre in relation to petrol charges, taxation.
But why is that?
All sorts of reasons. But people continually, for convenience, even though they're getting taxed out and you know, the government is really trying to throw the motorist off the road in reality, even though that's happening, people are still using their cars. And it's all down to the fact that if we want people on public transport, it needs to be ultra-convenient. And until we get to that stage, we're never going to move forward. And Belfast, at the present moment in time, the public transport is not fit for purpose.
You say this, but once again, how many of our journeys are going for 20 minutes? Now, I don't have the figures to hand. I know like Sustrans have done a lot of research on this, where most of the journeys in Belfast are people going very short journeys that you could walk or cycle in 10 minutes. yet you're taking half an hour sitting in traffic. Yes, there's always instances, you know, you have to drop off kids for work, you have to move about a lot for work, but you're going to need a car. And we absolutely accept that, that, you know, that's going to be a case. Some people are always going to have to use a car, and I can totally get that. But part of this is a behavioural change and starting to realise the actual impact of you driving your car every single day for every single journey you need to do. The air quality in Belfast is shocking. We have over 500 deaths a year in Northern Ireland from air pollution-related related causes. That's a serious public health crisis, and we are not taking that seriously. So yes, we need the public transport to improve. I'm absolutely taking that on board. We really need to do that. But we need a behavioural change as well. People need to get out of their car. They need to start cycling. They need to start walking. And public transport is part of that as well. And yes,
and the only way to make support. That the only way to make that happen is to make it more convenient than.
Yeah, look, 100% support that.
But that's not happening, and we're decades away from that ever happening in Belfast.
We are. But
most
like,
major cities are congested, by the way. So let's not knock Belfast and other routes around Northern Ireland any
for
more
the
than
size
we need
of
to.
Belfast, though, it is quite bad that we are.
Maybe it's because I don't travel in peak time. You know, I don't travel at tea time, for example, and I come in early in the morning. Well, I'm supposed to come in early in the morning. I don't think it's that bad in Northern Ireland. Like, I really, really don't. You compare this city to London. Like, London's crazy. I've turned down working in London on a couple of occasions, partly because I can't stand sitting in traffic, and those tubes would do your head in, all squished together like sardines, Frank.
Well, I mean, I lived in London for 11-12 years. Stephen and I used to get on the tube every day because it was more convenient than taking a car.
Sweaty people standing in front of you and bumping into you and listening to their music in front of you and eating a big prawn sandwich with a lettuce dripping out in front of you. I couldn't stick it for 2 minutes.
That was just you, Stephen.
Couldn't stick it.
But even there's a cultural change. You look at London now, the transport system in London is unbelievable. It's great. No matter where you want to go in central London, you can get there very quickly.
London's a
bore. If you can stand the tube and the smelly people.
It's a bore.
However, we still see congestion on the roads there.
Yeah.
So, you know, people will always take their car, you know, for whatever reason.
0303 80 55 55. Peter in Belfast. Morning, Peter. Hello, Peter. Not there. Jerry next. Morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you doing?
Doing all right, thank you.
Good, man. Stephen, I'll tell you what it is. I was on the air before the last time the boss from Translink was there, and I posed a question to get the figure that Translink are subsidised. I know they're subsidised heavily, but I was wanting a rough figure. And then going on from... Sorry, go ahead. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening to you, mate. I'm listening to you.
And going on from that, Stephen, also, you know... very much promoting free transport. Now, we talk about climate change, we talk about congestion, we talk about all these things. I don't think it would be worth trying, even to give it a year, to see how, you know, free transport would sort the problem out, if it could sort
free,
it out.
Free transport?
Free transport, yeah.
Well, much would that cost us?
Well, what I was saying is, how much are Translink subsidised to, and then what would be the difference? Plus, it's not unheard of. See, there's countries across Europe that do have free transport, and apparently it's working very well. You
what
know,
countries?
Say,
what countries? I'm ignorant of this.
Off the top of my head, Steve, I just can't. I had them the last time I was talking to you. I had
well,
them
we'll,
written
we'll
there,
look
but
them
I
up.
Can't remember.
We'll look
well,
them up.
I'll dig them up.
But we'll do it behind the scenes here.
Good, yes. Well, good on you.
We'll
and also, too, Steve, can I just say that, you know, while people are praising Translink, you know, I think that they have a big responsibility, actually. You know, you see with these bus lanes, right, obviously that is creating traffic problems. So cars are sitting for longer. The fumes are there. So it has to be done hand in hand, you know.
I'm being told here, by the way, that Luxembourg has free transport.
That's one of, yes, it just came to me there, yeah. Stephen, yes.
All right.
As I say, it's proven to be very successful. So, as I say, what is the figure that translates are subsidised, and what would be the sort of the gap that needs to be made for free transport, even to roll it out for a year?
We'll try to find that out. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you,
morning,
thank
Peter.
You.
Well, Stephen, I got a bike myself there and I was up and down the bus lanes and I found it the most dangerous thing ever because our cyclist, bus was in there, knocked me off it. taxis, everything, you know. So I referred it back to her getting a one of those private pensions or funeral plans or just going to the gym. And the only bike I see feel safe in there is a bike in the gym because nobody can knock you off it. So, you know.
So you bought a bike?
Yes.
And you don't feel safe on it?
No. You can wake out the buses or a lorry. You know, it's too dangerous. You know what I mean?
It's not that dangerous, is it? Is it really?
Oh, yeah. Yes. So the only bike you're safe on is in the gym. And one of those ones is stuck to the floor. Because, it's just unreal, the acid. There's far too much traffic in Belfast, you know, and there's far too much drivers aren't considered, you know.
So have you not been out on the bike?
No, I just go to the gym. That's safer. I sit in the wee bike in the gym, paddle away.
How much did you buy the bike for? I'll give you a fiver for it.
Stephen, the tires wouldn't be big enough for you. You know, oh, there would be nice. Sorry, there would be nice.
I'll have you know, Tuesday was my weigh-in day today. I'll have you know, I might actually force young Vinny to come in here before the 10 o'clock news just to reveal if I've hit my target that I set myself in February.
Yeah.
When I was, at the beginning of the year, I was 22 stone 8. Guess what I am this morning?
15 and a half.
As Brucey would say, lower. We'll get Vinny to, we'll force Vinny to announce it before the 10 o'clock news. Curtis and Enniskillen. Morning, Curtis.
Hi, you, Stephen. I was just listening there, and I think it's laughable for that lady to say that people need to stop investing more in their private cars. I'm from Enniskillen, and it takes around 2.5 hours to get from Enniskillen to Belfast. So, for example, if you have an appointment, you're talking 5 hours round trip, and that's not including the time that you'd be spending in your appointment. And I think the government need to start thinking about investing in transport outside of Belfast. There's more to life than Belfast. Like Fermanagh, if we didn't have cars, we'd be cut off from the rest of the country. I just where is our investment? Where is our railway? Where is better?
Well, that would be for a local government, under devolution, to be coming up with that infrastructure plan, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and as I say, if they did that, then there would be less congestion in Belfast because there'd be less people having to being forced to take their car to Belfast from places like Fermanagh or Tyrone or, places that, as I say, there is life to Belfast.
I go back and forward working in for Five Live in Manchester quite a lot. And the tram system in Manchester is pretty fantastic, actually. You can go from the city centre right through Salford. It just effortlessly and environmentally friendly glides along the road. It's a really good system, Curtis.
Is a joke. Translink have a monopoly over transport here, and if I'm not mistaken, they've constantly tried to block other companies from being able to. For example, there was that private company that wanted to take a direct bus, no stopping at all from Enniskillen to Belfast, and Translink blocked it because they didn't want the competition.
Well, now we don't know that. I'd have to look into that. I certainly don't know that.
I'm pretty sure it was on in the newspapers in around Fermanagh, and it was actually on the news as well. But whenever there is no competition, Translink don't care. About their prices, about their service.
Translink again would disagree with that. You're getting stuck into Translink this morning, Curtis. They're not here to defend themselves. They would say that their prices are very as competitive and as low as they can possibly make them. And there's a public subsidy obviously in there, so there's public money at play. Eddie and Derry. Morning, Eddie.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Morning.
How are you doing? Just I want to make a point. If Belfast over the past few years hadn't been so selfish in taking all the jobs and investments, especially to the detriment of the people west of the Ban, they might have more room for their people to move about. And it continues on. We're getting a university, or hoping to get a university here at the minute. It's like pulling teeth. So I think if they keep pushing people into Belfast to the detriment of the rest of us, there's only one outcome it can be.
Well, that outer London, out of London strategy that there was to push big companies and government incentives to take business and to take a lot of the workforce out of London so that all the whole pie was not getting into London. You're suggesting that there should be something like that here, Eddie?
It should spread spread it out over the province. I mean, everything's going to Belfast. Every job announcement you hear coming in now, it's 1,000 jobs to somewhere in Belfast or 500 jobs Belfast. They should be pushing. If they're doing their job, of course, there's nobody there to do it at the minute. But if they're doing the job properly, the investment should be spread out over the entire province with a special emphasis on west of the Bann, which is starved of working jobs.
Eddie, thank you, sir.